All right, I'm here with Joe Garner, a.k.a. The Colonel, coming just off of Hinterland Music Fest out in St. Charles, Iowa. Joe, how did you find the Hinterland Festival?
It was absolutely fantastic. It couldn't really have been any better in my mind. It were the bands. I was excited to see all these bands leading up to it. And it's a great lineup, great staff, just really well done, and just a beautiful area. It couldn't have been any better. It was great.
That's great to hear. It was my first time seeing you guys live, and not blowing smoke. One of the highlights of the weekend, as far as what I got to catch. And also, I think it was dark. I wasn't totally sure. I hadn't met you in person before. But were you at the Tim Heidecker
show? I was. I almost broke my ankle walking down that dirt road with my boots on.
Did you catch all of it, or did you?
No, we ended up leaving before it was over.
Okay,
just to not have to go back down that road with all those people. But it was pretty fun to have a little Tim Heidecker, whatever he's doing.
Well, if you left early, you missed a second song about drinking piss.
Okay, yeah, there's always one more in there.
Not one, but two. So I guess which brings us to my most hard-hitting an important question of the night. When are you going to write a song about drinking piss?
Well, who's to say I haven't? I mean, it's all about the mixing, and sometimes it takes a long time to get it all sorted out. But especially with so many previous songs about that are so well done, well executed, you really want to come out guns blazing.
Yeah, absolutely. For the listeners who are just learning about the Colonel and your music, what were the origins of this project?
Well, it really, my dad was a musician, and a lot of this for me started after he died. And I was, of course, a music fan, and I was interested in artistic things and all that. But it didn't really click for me. With the performing and things like that until he died, and really trying to tap into some of those things that I heard growing up. I mean, that was a big part of it for me, and just to keep, I think I wanted to keep alive some of those things I saw when I was a kid, and some of the kinds of the atmospheres that were created by country music rather than just like having a rock band or something. I mean, that's all also really fun and cool, and I've played in a lot of bands, that are not country bands. But for me, performing with country music, it's just a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun seeing that kind of music, as a kid, and I think the enjoyment of it is what keeps me coming back. It sure ain't the money,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was curious with taking on kind of a alter ego persona. I'm personally a pro wrestling fan, and I also noticed on your Instagram recently you shared a painting that you have in your house? It's Hulk Hogan and Andre. I was just wondering if whether unconscious or overt, if there was any element of pro wrestling to that. Did you grow up a wrestling fan at all?
As a kid, I wasn't a massive wrestling fan. Like, as I got out of, adolescence and stuff, but I still have a lot of friends that did and still are big wrestling people. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I obviously was when I was a kid, big Undertaker guy. But there is an element of that performative thing of, what's real, what's not real, what's genuine, what's not genuine, what does that mean? Because I think there was a long time, like in the early 2000s, a lot of folk music where it would just all felt like too genuine. And the thing I always loved about country music is the performative stage part, which is very kind of that kayfabe, wrestling.
Nice.
Kind of thing, Yeah, and so I do like that kind of space, that little zone of performing for sure. Yeah.
Well, and you grew up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that Nashville especially has a long wrestling history too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Memphis. And I live in Jackson now, which is about an hour from Memphis. So yeah, a lot of wrestling in that part of the world for sure.
Awesome. Well, if the Colonel makes an appearance in ring, I think it would translate pretty well. That's a good name,
I might just tuck that in the back of my hat. See what happens.
Well, this latest album is completing what you've said will be a trilogy, starting with Farewell, Hello in 2011, Light Country in 2017, and now the latest, which is Listen to the Blood, just recently released. Did you set out at the very beginning knowing that it was this always the design, or did it kind of take shape as you fleshed out the kernel in, or was it a trilogy kind of basically from, if not day one, or very early days?
Yeah, it was from day one. I actually had mapped it out to do three myself and then have a fourth, kind of a ghost record, that my idea initially was I'll put the kernel to rest after the third album. He goes away. But then, you know, my hope was it maybe that I could, you know, arrange to have this suit put away somewhere and then somebody else put it on later and make the fourth record. But someone who wasn't me, but they were the kernel, you know.
Kind of a Dread Pirate Roberts.
Exactly,
kind of thing,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I could just pass it on, yeah. That was kind of my day one initial idea. But, you know, and obviously some of those things changed, but I really enjoyed having putting a structure before myself over a long period of time and giving myself some kind of stoppers to give myself, you know, a pretty firm plan, but also, you know, leaving all those boxes fairly empty so that I could fill them in as I went along, you know, with the songs I was writing and things like that. But yeah, I had a color associated with each phase. I thought of them as phases, you know, because, you know, they all last a couple years. And so it was just kind of trying to reflect some things in my life and some things with the project, you know, with my relationship with my dad, them kind of building into that project too, that are kind of personal things. It's all that going into, you know, into the behind the scenes part of the planning and stuff like that. But that, for me, that's, you know, more kind of what keeps me interested, because the music at the end of the day is just the music, you know, and it's just a record like everybody else puts out records, and hopefully people like it. That kind of thing, but yeah, there was definitely some of that planning going on from day one.
So obviously there was a concept that carried through all three albums. Would you call each separate album sort of a concept album in and of itself? Was there something behind each specific album, or was it just kind of that through line of the kernel?
Yeah, each record kind of has, and again, I've always thought of them as phases, but they are certain sort of like moments in an arc, you know, that have a different quality from one to the next. And so I was thinking about different kinds of things, you know, with each phase for sure. And really it was for me to give myself some space to develop that character or develop, you know, this performative side. I mean, and it's not like of Montreal or something like bombastic or anything, you know, it's pretty standard, just wearing the suit and stuff, but a lot of it's internal, you know, a lot of it's just kind of inside, kind of baked into the situation, so it's not necessarily terribly overt, you know. Mm-hmm. But if people start looking around, they might see it, you know.
So I guess I'm curious about that dynamic of making a cohesive album, but also just making some, you know, making sure there's some straight up bangers in there.
Well, you have to have, I mean, really that's the metric for me writing songs is, am I going to get bored of this, you know, in 2 months, or am I going to be able to stomach performing this song in 3 years, 4 years, you know? And slowly over time, songs, you know, get weeded off the set list, you know, and if we have to play a long set, we'll bring them back in. But yeah, that's the big part for me is just making sure that it's something that kind of has a timeless quality for myself, that it sort of exists in a space and you can always pull it out and it stands alone. I mean, that's kind of what I think about when I think about writing songs.
Well, we don't have a whole lot more time here, but I did want to touch on, I listened to, in prep for this, I listened to a couple other interviews you did, one of which was with the old 97s. What's his podcast called again?
Yeah, Rhett's podcast.
Wheels Off with Rhett Miller. Yeah. In that, you made mention of being at one time a worship leader in a religious background. And I was just curious in terms of your time as a worship leader. Was that the first music that you played live on stage?
Yeah, it was. Ironically enough, I mean, when I was about 17, I asked my dad, I got really into 50s music when I was in high school, and I asked my dad to teach me how to play Peggy Sue by Buddy Holly on the acoustic guitar. I heard that song and just remember being obsessed with it, you know, and just thinking, this is so cool, man, with the drums, just the do-do-do-do, and it just, I just loved everything about it. And I said, well, my dad plays guitar, and we have guitars. Dad, can you show me the chords? And so that's kind of where I started, and I was starting to learn some, like, 50 songs, and then I had this conversion experience and didn't listen to anything, probably, you know, anything but Christian music probably for the next 10 years, you know, until, or almost 10 years probably. So you think about, you know, from the time I was 17 till I was, you know, in my mid-20s, mm-hmm. you know, just that, all that music time, just there's, you know, I have no, like, never got into the Strokes or anything like that. You know?
Like, just jamming Keith Green and, like...
I was a big Rich Mullins guy.
Oh, okay, actually. Rich Mullins.
I was a total Rich Mullins convert.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to kind of get out of that world. But, you know, it was all good. It just, you know, I kind of had to bloom a little bit later.
Yeah. Same. Well, awesome. We'll wrap it up here because you got a show to get to here at Raccoon Motel, which is my first time at this venue, and wanted to give that a shout out because it's a really cool space. And if you're ever down here, you should check that out. But I wanted to ask one last thing jumping off that same interview you did with Rhett on Wheels Off. You made mention of writing some short stories, and that was back in last November. And you mentioned that's something you had been doing, and maybe we're going to revisit or maybe not. And I was just curious if that's something you picked back up or we're still doing stuff with, or if that's been kind of on the back burner since then, or is there going to be some short stories from
well,
in the future?
I'm having a hard enough time marketing myself in, you know, as a musician, that, you know, it's even harder to be a, hey, I'm a short story writer, everybody come to my book signing. No, I don't think so. I think we're not going to do that. But no, I mean, I'm interested in a lot of different creative things,
yeah.
And I actually started working full time a handful of months ago, and so my time has dwindled as far as my free time, and so now I'm having to kind of figure out how to reorder things so that I can even have creative time. No, at the moment, not doing any short story writing or anything like that. But I do, I kind of start, you know. I go in and out of painting, just, you know, as a creative outlet. So that's something I've done a little bit more lately. But it's kind of a new thing, you know, working full time again and trying to figure all that out. But, you know, it's a little more boring, I guess. But we got to have the money,
right?
And it didn't always pay to play country music on the highway. So.
Well, I guess I said that was the close, but I like the Undertaker, I'm popping back up with one more, which is just, so you said this is the trilogy and now this is a conclusion. Is there going to be more Colonel, or is that TBD, or just kind of up in the air, or just kind of focus in on touring with this record and the future is unwritten, I guess?
I'm not making any solid plans on anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where... You know, I put that marker down for myself with this record being the final of those three, so that I could kind of give myself a chance to, you know, it's like when you go on a hike or something and you finally stop and turn around and see how far you've come up, you know. It's kind of like that moment is kind of where I'm at right now. And just, you know, looking over what I've done and how it's... helped or harmed me personally, and, you know, I mean, because there is a lot of personal stuff baked into the project, and so I'm kind of in a reassessing mode right now. Obviously love music and writing and still want to do that, and still have stuff that's not released, you know, but mm-hmm. As far as like a plan for it, I'm kind of wanting to get through this year, you know, and tour with the rest of the stuff we have going on, and kind of just see what happens. I'm definitely at a spot where I'm not trying to force anything. I mean,
yeah.
I've for many years, you know, had tried to force, you know, a lot and it never really helped a whole bunch, you know. It just kind of led to you know, heartache, you know, when you anticipate things happening and you try to force it in there so that you can have it, and it just hadn't worked too good. So I mean, even now with booking shows, I'm not really trying to pick any fights with touring. You know, it's like if we get a good offer to do something like Hinterland or whatever and we can piece some stuff together, cool. But the days of just blocking off a month and saying we're going to go, you know, this direction and let's find some shows. I'm not really doing that these days. So I'm trying to just see, you know, where there's a warm reception, and then we go through those doors and leave the other ones shut.
Gotcha. Well, I hope to facilitate.
It's a tough one.
Facilitate.
We're fresh off the weekend. I mean, it's hard to get those out.
Well, I hope to facilitate a warm reception in Eau Claire in Western Wisconsin if you ever so choose to come up our way. So
yes, indeed.
Hoping to make some more Colonel fans in Eau Claire. So thanks for taking the time, and I'm looking forward to the show here this evening.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks
for having me.